The Week in Review with Declan Ralph. For stories you haven't heard anywhere else on the radio this week.
Hi there and welcome along to The Week in Review. As usual today, I'll take a look at the stories that affect us, but you won't have heard much about them anywhere else on the radio this week. I'll feature stories too about people and groups that you may know or are interested in. Indeed, you might even be involved with them. And of course, I'll have a look at the local stories that affect you as well. Now, if you'd like to get involved in the show with me, or you'd like me to feature something on the programme that you're interested in, well, you can contact me right now by text to 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500. The text line is open while the show is on the air. Or you can get in touch at any time on Twitter at NearFM, at Declan Ralph, hashtag Week in Review. Now, coming up shortly, the local stories with Ken. This week, Bowes FC announces a walking trail for Dublin 7. Children can pitch in with the elves this Christmas at Crow Park. Christmas not being too far away, ho ho ho, and all of that, Ken. Whitehall residents want age-friendly apartment complex scrapped. And Fingal County Council have launched a documentary series. And then, in a new feature that Ken has brought to the show this week, other quick fire headlines from News on the North Side, he titles it. So I'm looking forward to that, and we'll get maybe a starter for six, as they say, in the quick fire round. Ireland's most vibrant and successful book event has been entertaining and inspiring audiences in Dublin and around the world for the past week. The Dublin Book Festival showcases, supports and develops Irish publishing by programming, publicising and selling Irish published books. It's an entertaining, friendly and accessible festival which aims to bring the joy of books to everyone. The festival is running until Monday and will feature a special event taking place shortly in Smock Alley Theatre and online with President Michael D. Higgins. So before that, Sarah is squeezing in an interview with the director of the Dublin Book Festival, Julianne Mooney-Syron. So that's coming up ahead of when they host Michael D. Higgins there. Now, mildly different is the title of an exciting new short film which has been made by and which stars and which is about people who are autistic. The live action production feature features an award-winning script, an original score and music from Irish chart-topping singer-songwriter Orla Gartland. The film follows a young woman on the autism spectrum from childhood right the way through to adulthood, immersing the audience in her inner world at every step of the way. It's set to make its premiere this coming Wednesday, and ahead of that I'm going to have a chat and I'm going to talk to the writer and director of Mildly Different, and her name is Anna Sarzeska, and I hope I pronounced her name right. I'll check with her when I'm talking to her a little bit later. Then just after one, Sarah will be back to take a look at the events taking place over the next few days. And after that, the 20th Irish Youth Dance Festival, presented by Dublin Youth Dance Company, the DYDC, returns next weekend with an exciting and diverse programme running over 2 days at Dreacht in Blanchardstown, featuring live performances and dance and film. And this unique and hugely popular event offers audiences the opportunity to see the most exciting up-and-coming young contemporary dance talent here in Ireland. And Ken is going to chat to Miriam Ribbon, who is the artistic director of that festival. So we're looking forward to hearing that. And if that wasn't enough, we are definitely going to finish by 1:30. We promise you that. We're going to squeeze in the jobs and volunteering opportunities at the end as well. So stick with us and you'll find out how we do it.
Local stories with Ken Kilbride.
So Ken, on to the stories. Bowes local football club, Bowes FC, they've announced a walking trail for Dublin 7.
So they're doing lots of interesting things off the pitch, if you want to call it that. So they recently announced the new Bohemian Way, which is a new community arts project focused on the climate transition that will bring artists, historians, poets, musicians and videographers together to create a new walking trail in Dublin 7. So the club itself was founded in 1890 and they'll partner with the FAI, Dublin Bus, the Push and Pull Collective, and they got a grant of £190,000 from Creative Ireland. So the new exciting initiative was officially announced by the President, Michael D. Higgins, and he says Bowes are a fine institution, a proper community club, and one that I admire. Indeed, if you come out the front door of Ars Nucron, take a left, go out the front gate, straight down 10 minutes, you can't miss it. So the walkway will also serve as a pollinator highway and aims to bring people on a journey through the north inner city. And that journey from the North Circular Gate Lodge to the Phoenix Park, the Daily Mount, will tell three interwoven stories: the history of the football club, The history of the city, and the future climate transitions for city residents. And the project will emphasise participation along the way. There's loads of people going to be involved in it. So, you know, nice idea. Look forward to getting involved in that next year and seeing all the type of things that they're doing.
Yeah, it's fantastic, isn't it? And as you say, doing things other than just playing
being
football,
on the club, yeah, being part of the community.
And being part of the community. Great to see it. Now, speaking of communities and clubs and pitches and all of that sort of stuff, children can pitch in with the elves this Christmas at Croke Park.
So, there's an elite team of elves from the North Pole, and they're currently setting up the Countdown to Christmas training camp in Croke Park Stadium, where they will hone their Christmas and GAA skills and make final preparations for the magical final journey on Christmas Eve. So children are invited to the Croke Park this season, and every helper will become a member of the North Pole GAA Club, the most magical GAA club in the world. It begins at the end of November, and all visitors will be given a VIP view of how the elves train for the big day itself. Families can get pitch-side elfies, I like that one, in the magnificent grounds and see the dressing room where the elves tug out before the Christmas. You can chill out in the Igloo clubhouse. You can test your hurling camogie football skills in the North Pole skill zone. And the all-star elves will help you check your scorecard and share some inside tips and hints on how to leave out things for Santa and his reindeers. And best of all, you can drop in and see the Croke Park cabin and meet the Bannister himself of Christmas, Santa Claus, and all child will receive a small team gift. I think this has been problem with this all week. It's a brilliantly thought out marketing initiative.
It's
the over commercialised of Christmas.
Well,
I'm not sure which one this fits into.
But I think the icing on the cake there is the Bannister of Christmas himself, Santa Claus.
I have a vision going down there and Santa will be wearing a blue top.
No, he'll have the red top, but he'll have Bannister written across the back in big white writing, I'm sure.
Something like that, yeah.
Absolutely. Brilliant. Now, Whitehall residents want an age-friendly apartment complex scrapped. Why so, Ken? That's an unusual request.
Well, indeed. This has been going on a while. And as I say, you know, I walk around this area a lot, so I have particular interest in myself. So the project is being progressed by Clan Housing, and that's a division of Clwyd Housing. It's a non-for-profit association-approved housing body. So earlier this year, the development was reduced from 7 to 5 storeys after the residents on Tat Road expressed concerns about their home has been overlooked. So the plan will provide 91 homes for over 55s on Dublin City Council's housing lists. It's been submitted as a Part A planning application, which means the work and the application has been done by Dublin City Council itself. However, the Whitehall Residents Association has come out completely against the development, citing several factors. Kay White, and she's the chairperson of the association, and she says the project has been nicknamed the Sardine Proposal due to the supposed lack of light and height density units. And you go, if you... anybody comes just by Whitehall Church, look at the car park, look at the houses, and you put a 5-storey building there. Yeah, I think they have a case.
Okay.
She's also saying there's going to be a problem with the further, people won't be able to use the car park anymore. There's lots of people come down, you know, she says between 7:30, 7, have bikes in the cars, hop in the bus, go into town, go to work, use the lot on the weekends for matches, where are they going to park instead? So I think that one's going to be running just a little bit further.
No doubt you'll keep an eye on it for us. Fingal County Council have launched a new documentary series.
I think the interesting part is to celebrate the 1500th anniversary of the birth of one of Ireland's most prolific saints, St. Colum Kill. Fingal County Council Association with Creative Ireland have launched a new documentary series about the life of the saint and his connection with the Soars area. So the 4-part video series explores the tales of the dove, where the presenter Pamela Finn met with renowned archaeologist and historian Dr. Brian Lacely.
Could you try again?
Oh.
Ah, hello, Siri.
Siri's talking
to
me again.
Hey, Siri, stay quiet. That's
stay
Ken's
great.
Phone.
Put that over there.
Siri's interrupting.
Fingal County Council says that by facilitating funding initiatives such as this programme and by supporting artists and Creative Ireland in the production of...
It's obviously something you're saying. That's interesting, isn't it?
Today,
it must be the saint, maybe, or...
I don't know. I think I'm very good today.
Yeah. I think it's the word saint, maybe,
possibly.
Mixing up for Siri, yeah. There you go. Again.
I'll turn it off in a minute.
Seriously, stay quiet.
Anyway, we won't
We're
say the word
to do
for
a radio
moment.
Program here.
Colum Kill founded the Black Abbey in Derry and the monasteries in Kells and in Mead, Durrow in Offlow and Swords in County Dublin, among others. So evidence of the 6th century ecclesiastical settlement in Swords still exists, and that's centred around St. Columba's Church of Ireland on Church Road in Swords. So the documentary is a prime example of how Fingal County Council and Creative Ireland create cultures and heritage as we celebrate one of Ireland's most historic figures. So the documentary will be available from November the 15th, which is just next week in a couple of days, on Fingal County Council's website, its social media pages, and on YouTube. So, you know, good idea. It shows you how, you know, the town be built over 1,500 years and how St. Columbkill is still part of it.
Brilliant. Yeah, it's 1,500 years. Hard to believe it. Now, quickly, on the north side, some quick fire round from you. Do you want to take the first one there? No metros for a while yet on the north side?
Well, just very quickly, I say, we just do local news, but there's been an awful lot of news on the north side, which has been national news this week, so in case you missed it, you're not going to get another metros for another 5 years. 1,600 apartments have been approved for Drumcondra and the Holy Cross site. Residents are going to be back on that one. We've been talking about the Oscar Road or the Coolock Lane site for a number of years.
The vote feels on like decades, never
decades,
mind years.
Yeah. Has been deferred, but they expect to have a vote on next month. We'll see what happens there, because that's one of the biggest sites belonging to Dublin City Council for housing. This one slipped under the radar just a little bit. Dublin Airport filed a new proposals for a new runway. They want to get this second runway, but they've been limits on the number of flights they can do. They want to bring in a quota system now, depending on how much noise the plane makes.
Is this the third runway? Or is this,
this is the second one.
The second one. The one they're building.
They're not allowed to do flights between 11 and 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
And particularly, so there's restrictions on. So they want to put more flights out. So what they're saying here is they're going to have a quota for noise over the year. And, you know, particular planes will add 1 to it, 2 to it, 3 to it. So if it's one plane, you can fly them all night if you want. So basically, this will be a way that they say that they can have lots of planes going out across the entire year.
The entire and the 24 hours of the day. And you have a nice little story to finish with.
Well, I've actually just a very quick one. One came up overnight I didn't know before. So there's a band called Greta Van Fleet. And they've announced a major, huge gig on the 23rd of June for Fairview Park.
Wow. That's a new one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the Merino residents are waking up tomorrow and going, what?
What's going on there? We'll keep in touch with that.
I think we'll be following
that one. Now to your story.
We did a story a couple of weeks ago on Pet Mania, and they were doing the cutest pets around, and the winner was Nala, and we will post the picture later on. Very, very cute. Deserved winner of that.
Brilliant. Looking forward to seeing that photo. Now, Ireland's most vibrant and successful book event has been entertaining and inspiring audiences in Dublin and around the world for the past week. The Dublin Festival showcases, supports and develops Irish publishing by programming, publicising and selling Irish published books. It's an entertaining, friendly and accessible festival which aims to bring the joy of books to everybody that takes part. The festival is running until Monday and will very shortly feature a special event taking place in Smock Alley Theatre and online if you want to catch it. If you search there for Smock Alley, you'll be able to tune into this, where President Michael D. Higgins is coming to talk to them all. But ahead of that, we just about have enough time for Sarah to have a chat. So Sarah's going to join us now and have a chat with the director of the Dublin Book Festival, and that is Julianne Mooney-Syron.
Hi, Julianne. So, yeah, absolutely. It's fantastic to have you on and to find out a little bit more about all that's in store with the Dublin Book Festival. All that's been happening so far. I know it's a really busy time for you guys and lots more happening this weekend as well. Can you give us a little flavour, maybe for starters, of what the Dublin Book Festival is all about and I guess maybe what it aims to achieve?
Yeah, hi Sarah, thanks for having me on. The Dublin Book Festival was established in 2006. It was established by the publishing industry, Publishing Ireland. So the publishers got together and they wanted to have a platform for their authors, for writers, illustrators, poets. So they set up the festival. It was initially, you know, a morning of events, and over the past 15 years, it has really expanded. So the festival is now a week of events. There's discussions, workshops, events for families, children, schools, and all ages. And it's really about showcasing homegrown talent and supporting the Irish publishers.
And what is that talent like, that scene like, that world like in terms of Irish writing today and maybe in the context of where we've come over the last 2 years as well?
It's endless. We just seem to have an endless supply of amazing writers. It's just, you know, over COVID when that hit, we were pre-planning the festival 2020 and I thought, oh, right, you know, we're going to have to go online, but what's going to happen with the writers and the books and what'll happen next year? Because I thought things would really come to a standstill. And I was completely wrong, because more books were brought out. The publishers did an amazing job. They, you know, they kept going. They even sped up the amount of books that came out during that period and since. And writers, you know, they kept writing. They adapted to online. And it was a really tough time for them, because especially my heart went out to emerging writers. You know, they suddenly had their book in their hands and they had nowhere to go. So 2020 was really special for us, that we really got behind them and we gave them an online platform and made sure that their book got out there. And I guess the advantage of having gone online meant that we brought in international audiences as well. So that was really good for the authors. And for the Irish publishers as well. So it is every year I'm amazed by the amazing work that is done by the publishers and the writing that comes from our writers at home. It really is. It is incredible. And it just seems to get more and more every year. You know, with submissions, I remember when I first started 11 years ago, I'd maybe have 50 submissions. Now, every year, I'm up to around 400 submissions. You know, it's just huge. It gets bigger and bigger. It's thriving. It really is. And it's a lovely, lovely community. And I guess that's what's really special about the festival is, you know, usually we have this hub in Smock Alley and the writers get together and it's their excitement of seeing each other and getting to meet their audiences. And because we've so many events usually going on side by side, they get to meet new audiences. And it's really important to have the festival.
There's probably a great appreciation of it, and no more so than this year, on both sides, from both the writers and all that it brings to them, and from the readers as well, and your audiences. Can you give us a little bit of a flavour then of what's in store this weekend, over this evening and tomorrow, Sunday then as well, in terms of what people can go and check out?
Yeah, so we've got, so the first thing to say is a lot of our events all of our events in Smock Alley Theatre this weekend are being live streamed. So while you might go to the website and they're booked out, so for example, we've got President Michael D. Higgins is arriving soon and he's going to be doing an event, but you can actually just log on to our website and book a live stream. So you'll be able to watch us in Smock Alley. I'll be there saying hello and welcoming everyone. So President Higgins is there here with us at 1:30, and then we've got Luke O'Neill in conversation with Mark Henry, and they're in conversation with Aoife Barry. So they're going to be, it's going to be quite a reflective piece where their books are looking at the past year and what has happened, but also bringing this to the future and looking what the future holds for in relation to, I suppose, future pandemics, but also just life in Ireland. Then later this evening we've got a fantastic debut author, J.R. Thorpe. She'll be in conversation with Nadine O'Regan. She'll be talking about her book Lear Wife. I couldn't believe that this was her first novel. The way it was written, the context, it's about Lear's wife, and she basically creates this whole background to Lear's wife, who was only mentioned once in King Lear, and it's in the play. It's just incredible how she weaves the story and then snippets from the play into her book. It's an incredible piece, and they'll be in conversation tonight at 7:30. And then tomorrow we've got a whole range of events. We've got some walking tours. We've got Pat Liddy doing his walking tours around Dublin. So he takes groups out, and he will bring, one of the most charismatic men.
He's always very popular in this program.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. You'll always see 20 or 30 people outside, and he brings them around different spots, Chester Beatty, Marsh's Library, and of course Smock Alley, and he'll be talking about some of our kind of old writers from 18th century and how these buildings relate back to them. He has lots of chat and different things to talk through. We've got family events as well, so we've got something on in the Botanic Gardens with Siobhan Parkinson. She'll be doing a reading from her book, Even Evie's Christmas Wish. So it's kind of got the Christmas theme. Nice. And we're in Nuquivon actually today, and we'll be online doing a fun family reading from her book Oneen, and they'll be dancing and singing, and she'll have the kids drawing, so that should be lots of fun as well. We also have the Ampost Irish Book Awards. We've got a short, their short, one of the shortlist, a panel of their authors, Una Mannion, John Boyne, Kevin Parr, and Sarah Gilmartin. So they'll be chatting with Madeline Keane. So we've got, I could keep going, but I don't
want quite a bit of heavyweight talent in there for sure. And yeah, lots of food for thought for people. I mean, I guess, like, do you see the Dublin Book Festival as being something for kind of real kind of literary buffs, or is it something that maybe if people haven't even picked up a book perhaps in the last year or anything like that, you know, that they can still jump in and get something out of it?
Absolutely. It's you know, it's not a literary festival. It's, you know, we've never said it was that. It's a book festival. So we have everything from politics, which you'd see with President Higgins. We've got non-fiction, which would be Luke O'Neill. We've got history. We've got, you know, family events, school events going on. It's very much, you know, it sounds cliche, something for everyone. And that's really, really important because, you know, there's everyone, well, not everyone, but a lot of people love just picking up books. And the great thing about the festival is, you know, a lot of our events are free, and you can jump from, on a normal year, we'd have maybe three events going on in Smock Alley at the same time. So people tend to jump from one event to another, even though, you know, they might fall into an event they never meant to. And while that's not exactly possible this year, if you go online, a lot of our events, the majority of the online events were free. So you can even look back what happened this week. So you can go from history to we've got a Chilean author on there, we've got crime, so you can watch back on all those events that happened this week and then check into our live stream in Smock Alley. So, you know, if you want inspiration as well for a new book, we have the Dublin City Libraries Readers Morning, and that's a great lineup. So that kind of is going on at the moment, but you'll be able to watch that back. We've got Sarah Widman, Luke Cassidy, Rosalind McDonough, and we've also got Anne Ingalls. So that'll give you inspiration of different types of books.
I think it's lovely that you mentioned there that, you know, these events, you know, there's a selection of them that will be available to watch back afterwards and maybe to take some inspiration from some of the ideas that have been generated and some of the momentum really that's been built up by the festival. I think people, you know, might just kind of refer back to it, or it might just spark some new writings that we're looking at next year and the years to come, you know. So it's really exciting to have you guys in full flight this year. And if people would like then to check out the recordings or indeed to check out your events for the rest of the weekend, where is the best place to go for all the information on that?
Yeah, if you go to dublinbookfestival.com, that has everything listed. So tomorrow, we have events in the Botanic Gardens. We've got a new venue, a really quirky venue, the Pump House down in Dublin Port.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Which is great. Oh, okay. So if I think the best thing is to go to dublinbookfestival.com, and that has everything listed there.
dublinbookfestivals.com. Thank you so much, Julianne, for joining us. I think I could have chatted all day. I mean, there's just so many exciting nuggets there, especially you speak about kind of the new writings that are emerging and the writers that you have involved, and, you know, from fiction and nonfiction, and it's a fantastic festival. So look, thanks so much for joining us, and the very best of luck with the rest of everything to come. And thank you for squeezing us in before the president too, of course.
Thank you for having me, Sarah. Thanks a million.
And let Julianne just go off there and meet the president. Just a slightly little job she has to do there now in Smock Alley, and you can tune in online to that. And thanks a million to Sarah for that chat with Julianne. Now, I'm going to have a chat now about a movie that's called Mildly Different, that's going to make its premiere this coming Wednesday. And I'm delighted to be joined now by the writer and director of Mildly Different, Anna Sharska. Anna, you're welcome to the programme. How are you?
Hi, yes, great. Thanks so much for having me.
You're very welcome. Anna, you might start by telling us, what's the film all about?
Well, it's about a young woman on the autism spectrum who struggles with the world around her until the kindness of one person changes her life. And it's made by starring and about autistic individuals.
Brilliant. Nice and succinct. No spoiler alerts. I don't need to tell people you're not going to give it all away, are you?
No, they have to come on Wednesday to have a look.
Absolutely. You're dead right. So tell me, why did you want to make this film?
Because I am myself a late diagnosed autistic individual, and I went through my pretty much entire life not knowing why I was so different. And I think when I actually found out, there was such a whirlwind, and there was, I would even say, some anger there, in the fact that not one person that I'd gone to in the past had even thought to assess me, despite all of the symptoms and signs that were present there. And I know that my life, my childhood, everything that I'd gone through would have been so much easier if I had actually understood what was going on, and if the people around me understood what was going on. And, there was a lot of darkness, I'd say, around the fact that, when you're such a different person and you think, oh, I must be broken, there must be something wrong with me, and you don't know others that are in that similar situation and all of this, there's so much, I guess, inner turmoil is what I would kind of call it. And I think when I found out, I was, as I was already in the film industry, I felt it was such an important thing to get out there, to get the information out there to people. And even though the film is not a documentary, the whole purpose of it was to sort of give autistic individuals an authentic voice in the media and an authentic presence, and also to give the audience, who are neurotypical non-autistic individuals, a look at what it's actually like, because there are so many misconceptions about what autism is.
Yeah, and you say it's not a documentary, but is it autobiographical?
No. It is partially autobiographical. The story was written with my life experiences in mind, alongside the experiences of other autistic individuals that I had met in the autism community throughout kind of the last few years.
Okay, and tell me, how did you find the process of, putting it all together? I mean, you're the writer and also the director. Often, sometimes the writer doesn't get to, bring their film to life. It goes to a script writer and somebody else then produces and directs it, and, it can change over that sort of process. So how did you feel about all of that, and how did you work your way through that piece?
Yeah, you're very much correct. I also co-produced alongside with Gemma Stack, and I think for me, because of the sensitive nature of this subject matter, I felt that it was absolutely necessary to have as much control over the final product as possible, so that there wasn't any misconstrued notions. This is something that is very important to get right, because there are so many bits in the media now that are written or directed or portrayed by non-autistic individuals, and I think they're adding to the misconceptions and the judgments that we face, and I really didn't want to be part of that, so I kept a tight rein all across the board to make sure. And there were companies that I remember we had approached to help co-produce or fund and the whole lot, and they came up to us and said, well, if you change the script, if you do this, and I said, no, I'm not changing the script, because you're taking out all of the authentic experiences of the individual in the, of the character. They wanted to shorten this, that, and the other, and I'm like, so basically you want to make them less autistic and more interesting. And I felt that wasn't the whole, that wasn't the point of the piece. The point of the piece was to give a real voice and a real experience of what it's like to see through an autistic person's eyes, rather than just seeing it from the outsider's perspective of what it's like for us.
Yeah, so you kept that control, I suppose, to make sure that everything was represented accurately, and
that's
that
right,
there was no, nothing left out, which is very laudable, but a lot of work, I'm sure, as well.
Absolutely. It's been 2.5 years from start to finish. And you know, we crowdfunded quite a lot of the funds. So in total, about 35,000 was crowdfunded alongside. We were lucky enough to get a grant by the Arts Council. It's so the film's supported by the Arts Council and Arts Disability Connect scheme. That's managed by the Arts and Disability Ireland. And that's, you know, we were very, very lucky to get that. But that took so much work and really getting out there, getting, you know, our script into competitions, getting awards for the script, getting, you know, all of the development, the storyboarding, everything done, just getting the work out there. It was quite a challenge, but for a short film, 2.5 years in the making it's a very long time, but I feel like it was well worth it, you know.
Great, yeah, and it'll be there forever once as you say, it's made. Now, you did, as we said, you wrote it, produced as well. Do you act in it as well?
That's actually funny you mentioned that. I do have one tiny line.
Great.
It's mostly just to, you know, it's kind of like a little cameo, but we thought it might work, so I do Super. Have a bit in it actually.
Funny well done. I cut you out. Who else are the stars of the film?
Oh yes, we actually have. We're very, very lucky to get IFTA-nominated autistic actress Jordan Jones, who has recently been in feature film Metal Heart and also in the TV show on Netflix, The Alienist. And she's absolutely brilliant. And then we have her younger counterpart Ruby Connolly, who was only 10 years old when she played the role, and she did an absolutely brilliant performance, raw emotion that. Sometimes she had 1 minute to prepare for an intense emotional scene, and she just nailed it. And I think, you know, without those two wonderful ladies, we just wouldn't have, you know, the film just wouldn't be quite the same. You know, we needed somebody that understood the characters, and both of those, both of our actors did a brilliant job encompassing the character of Christina.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like it's going to be a fantastic film to watch. And if people are enthused now to go and see it, where can they find out more, or are there tickets available?
There are, yes. We have 2 screenings at the Stella, and you can get tickets by going to eventbrite.ie and looking at Mildly Different, or www.facebook.com/mildlydifferentfilm. All of the updates and information is there as well.
Brilliant. And a lovely cinema too, the Stella. It's a great place to go and check that
we
out.
We just did a screen test today. So
great.
It's amazing, beautiful cinema.
Yeah, it's great. So a great place to have it. Well, Anna, I wish you the best of luck with the film, and no doubt we'll talk to you again sometime. Take care.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye. Very welcome. That's Anna Charska there. Trying to get her name pronounced right, yeah. So it's Charska, and that movie is Mildly Different, and it premieres this coming Wednesday, as she said, in the beautiful Stella Cinema. Now, coming up in the second half of Week in Review, well, immediately after one, we're running a little bit late, but Sarah will be here very shortly to go through the events that are happening over the next little while. Thankfully, many of those are not virtual anymore. And then after that, Ken is going to have a chat with Miriam Rubin, who's the artistic director of the Dublin Youth Dance Company. And they've got a diverse program running over 2 days at Dríocht in Blanchardstown, and it's all about live performances and dance and what have you. And we'll squeeze in the jobs and volunteering opportunities too before we finish up at 1:30. So all of that to come on the Week in Review.
This is Mirrors FM.
The Week in Review with Declan Ralph. For stories you haven't heard anywhere else on the radio this week.
And welcome back to The Week in Review. Don't forget, if you'd like to get involved in the show, or you'd like me to feature something on the show that you're interested in, well, you can contact me right now on the text line to 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500. While the show is on the air, the text line is open. Or you can get in touch at any time on Twitter at NearFM, at Declan Ralph, hashtag Week in Review. Local events with Sarah Birmingham. So Sarah's back to have a look at the local events. Hiya, Sarah.
Hiya, Declan. Good to be back.
Yeah. Now, The first one you want to tell us about is jumping into Fingal Inclusion Week. It's for everyone, but it would have to be if it's Inclusion Week.
Wouldn't it? Yeah, maybe that's stating the obvious there, but they really do have an action-packed programme of events, and it's all kicking off this Monday, which is the 15th of November. It's the third annual Fingal Inclusion Week, and the week, it's an initiative of Fingal County Council Community Office, the Integration Officer, and the Fingal Public Participation Network. And it aims to highlight the positive work that communities, agencies and other organisations are involved in to reduce social exclusion and poverty in Fingal. The initiative provides the perfect opportunity for workshops, events, activities, coffee mornings and a lot more too. And this coming week, over 76 events are planned to celebrate the week. Participating organisations and community groups, among them include the Migrant Support Services, Rush Senior Citizens, ELVES, Children Nature Charity, Black Raven Pipe Band, and lots more as well. There's lots of different people getting in on the action. All the events are free, and it really does include something for everyone, they say, from a multicultural bake fair to touch rugby to an introduction to mindfulness. Really accessible and fun and enjoyable events as well, I think. For more information about Fingal Inclusion Week, and you can find out all the information about the events that are taking place and how you can join in, just head along to fingalinclusionweek.ie.
Now, something I'm going to do myself during the week. Not sure, Sarah, you do a little bit of running as well, as does Ken. I'm not sure if you're both going to run in the dark during this coming week. Ken is shaking his head anyway. What about yourself?
That's the challenge. Yeah, I'm tempted. it's never quite as exciting when you think about the prospect of running as when you actually go out and do it.
True.
And I think that's really what this is all about. They're saying, you know, it is November, the evenings are dark now, but 25,000 people across the world are going to jump up, put on their running shoes, head out the door and do a 5K or a 10K in the dark. And that is obviously the Run in the Dark event in a nutshell. It's going to see people running separately this year while connecting digitally across 7 continents. And it's all going to take place at Irish time at 8 p.m. this coming Wednesday, the 17th of November. It's a global movement, and as I said, 25,000 people worldwide are thereabouts taking part in it. But it raises funds for the Mark Pollock Trust, and specifically to help find collaborative cures for paralysis in our lifetime. Collaborative Cures connects scientists and technologists with people with the business, regulatory expertise and capital who can actually make a difference in this area. So really, I've met Mark Pollock, he's a fantastic guy, and you know, a really kind of interesting, progressive and no doubt worthwhile charity that it raises funds for. And there's still an opportunity if you'd like to enter for the run. You can receive your Run in the Dark pack after Wednesday now at this stage, but that's nothing to stop you taking part. You simply go to download the Run in the Dark app and you can sign up then for the Dublin Run at runinthedark.org.
Yeah, I've met him as well myself. He's an amazing character, such stamina and such, you know, enthusiasm for life despite all of his difficulties. Yeah. Amazing, amazing guy. Now, not C'est la vie, but C'est la vue. The French Film Festival 2021 is on the way.
I don't know how I did there, Declan. I was trying to come up with
it's a bit of a pun. Ken is shaking his head here in thumbs up from Ken across the table here. Yeah.
Sorry, so take that. This is this year's IFI French Film Festival, and it's kicking off this coming Wednesday. Again, Wednesday's a popular day for events, which is the 17th of November, and it's going to run through then until the 28th of November. The festival this year is going to be presented in a blended style, so they'll have events in the cinema at the IFI in Temple Bar that you can go along to, and as well online then at IFI at home, so that's all on the IFI.ie site. The works being screened this year tell the stories of individuals in a whole myriad of really interesting, challenging situations, and I think it's going to give people a lot of kind of food for thought. They have stories including a woman who's leading a double life, migrants on the edge of the Sahara Desert, a fearless mayor in a town outside Paris, an undercover writer, and a lot more besides too. And if you'd like to see more from the IFI beyond the festival, the IFI Archive Chair as well, which is all part of the IFI's online offerings there. It's a whole treasure trove of cultural clips. There's a collection of 36
short film fair as well, made by Irish filmmakers over 4 decades, and that's free to view too. So there really is loads on offer from them. They've also a season of 8 Japanese films, which is making a return to the IFI in the Japanese Story Festival, and that's going to screen in the cinema there in Temple Bar then in December, between the 4th and the 19th of December. And again, as I mentioned, you can find out all of the information on all that's happening and all that's on offer from the IFI by going along to ifi.ie, or of course you can pop into the cinema there in Temple Bar either.
Yeah, as Del Boy might say, munch two, sounds great. Now, the Wonderfest Festival makes a welcome return to the literary scene.
Yeah, this is a nice one. So I know we had chatted earlier with Delian from the Dublin Book Festival, but the Wonderfest Festival specifically celebrates children's books. It's an online school and family book festival, and it's run by a team of Irish children's writers and illustrators. It's all about celebrating and promoting Irish books. And this year's festival includes a whole host of events for schools, families, and a new strand of the festival as well called Wonderfest Inspires, and that's going to feature webinars and masterclasses for new and emerging children's writers. So if you think that you might have a children's book perhaps in you, or you're interested in that world, you can check out all that's on offer through Wonderfest Inspires there. And obviously they're trying to inspire a new generation of children's writers. Some of the highlights of the festival are going to include Oliver Jeffers in conversation with Mags Walsh. They have an interview with Owen Colfer on the inspiration behind his new Fell Twins series. There's a masterclass on writing novels for children and teens with Sarah Moore Fitzgerald, and a webinar too for those who might have thought about illustrating a children's book but really had no idea where to start. So kind of an opportunity maybe to dip your toe into that world. And yeah, there's lots online on the Wonderfest site, including free downloads and resources for schools and families and lots more as well. And that's all on wonderfest.ie.
You know, writing a children's book is much like writing a Christmas number one hit, because you never have to work another day in your life if you can get it right and hit something that becomes popular. Now, the final one we've time for, Sarah, is about lighting up your evening at Malahide Castle. And this is something I've booked myself to go along and see in December.
It looks fabulous. Yeah, I'm sure you're going to have a great evening there. And what better way to make use of the dark evenings now than really by lighting them up? And Malahide Castle is getting in on that action. It's one of a host of venues across the country hosting really exciting and colourful and just joyous kind of light shows, I think. But this particular one is the Wonderlights Show. It's a new, innovative and immersive experience, as they say, taking place there on the grounds of the castle, which have been transformed into a winter wonderland for the occasion. Wonderlights is going to see a mix of lights, colours, nature and soothing sounds all come to life in the form of stunning light displays and immersive projections for people of all ages. Visitors will have the chance to join an enchanting night walk experience by Festival Light, which is going to entertain people of all ages, no doubt. And yeah, it can all be enjoyed at a leisurely pace, about 1.8 kilometres, I think, the route itself. So hopefully accessible for most. And it's wheelchair and pram friendly too, which is always helpful. And they say a special welcome to guests with extra sensory needs. So really trying to make it as inclusive as possible. And I think that's something you know, that will be appreciated. There's entry times every 15 minutes from 5 to 8, Thursday to Sunday evenings. Tickets priced at £16.50 for children and OAPs and £19.50 for adults. And you can find out all the information on that at wonderlights.ie.
Thanks a million, Sarah, for all the events. We're going to take a break for a short piece of music, and after that, Ken is going to talk to Miriam Ribbon, who's the artistic director at Dublin Youth Dance Company. So that's still to come here on Week in Review.
This is Near FM on 90.3. Hi there, I'm Ken Kilbride, and with Declan Ralph and Sarah Birmingham, you're very welcome back to the programme. Don't forget, if you have anything you would like us to feature, you can contact us on air at text 087-69-44500. That's text 087-69-44500, or email us anytime at all at weekinreview@near.ie. The 20th Irish Youth Dance Festival, presented by Dublin Youth Dance Company, returns next weekend with an exciting and diverse programme running over 2 days at the Dreoch and Blanchard Sound, featuring live performances and dance film. This unique and hugely popular event offers audiences the opportunity to see the most exciting, up-and-coming young contemporary dance talent in Ireland,
And I'm now joined by Marion Ribbon, who's the Artistic Director of the festival. So, hi Marion, good afternoon and welcome to the programme.
Hi, hello, how are you? Thank you so much for having me.
Forgive the rookie question to start off with, but what is contemporary dance and what makes it different to dance?
Well, contemporary dance is obviously dancing as well. It's different from ballet in the sense that it's not so formal and so strict in the presentation. It's very creative, and the young people can express through this type of dance in a very good way. And it's really, it can be a response about many things that are happening in society, about our emotions, our voices, and especially the voice of the young people. So from that perspective, contemporary dance would be absolutely fantastic to practice for every young people out there.
Indeed, well, you think, say, the festival's been run by the Dublin Youth Dance Company. And say this is the 20th version of the Irish Youth Dance Festival. So tell me a little bit about the Dublin Youth Dance Company and who are they and what do they do?
Okay, so I'm the director of Dublin Youth Dance Company, and the company started in the year 2000, and it was founded by Dance Theatre of Ireland, and I got to be the artistic director in the year 2002, although prior to that I was choreographing for the company. It's a youth pre-professional company in which the young people come in to get trained, guidance, and if they want to have a career in dance, in that pathway, they get guidance and they get training, and we get to do choreography and performance in different venues at national level, and also internationally as well. So the company is divided in three companies: the junior, the transition, and the senior, and the ages go between 12 and 25.
Well, I mean, how is dance out there at the moment? Is it a growing interest? Are more people going, not saying going dancing, but taking an interest in it and, you know, taking it up as a hobby or a pastime?
Well, I think the dance could feed many different necessities in humans. And one would be like absolutely as a hobby, which absolutely impacts in the well-being of the person physically and mentally. And for the ones that really can't, you know, the young ones that can't imagine to live without moving, I think is very important.
Well, again, I say I work, you know, in the day jobs with ADHD Ireland, and one of the things we always say about it is, you know, that movement is your friend, and so we know a lot of people with ADHD turn out to be great dancers. One of the things about the conference, or the festival, is one of the themes this year you have is resilience. And so, you know, how have people, you know, in the company and generally sort of been impacted by COVID? You know, have young dancers been able to practice, rehearse, work together over the last year, and how are things coming together this year?
Yes, it's been a tough time for young people. I think for everyone, but I'm particularly feeling for the young people, because young people want to do things, and we have done already, you know, the ones that we have been young, you know, like once, and now it's their time. So from that perspective, it's been really tough. And we had classes in Zoom, and we had some performances as well, but it was very tricky to the Zoom thing, and I think the young people were a little bit demoralized with the Zoom dancing, because sometimes they didn't even have the space in their rooms or their kitchens, their living rooms. So being back in the studio is a blessing, really.
Well, again, how long have you been back in the studio? Or
since a little bit like June 2021, yeah.
So again, if anybody wants to go along next weekend to the DREOX, what can they expect to see?
Well, they will see lovely live dancing by different, and pieces by different choreographers. We have choreography by Liz Roach and John Scott, which are, you know, like, you know, the kind of the creme de la creme of the Irish dance scene. And we have different youth dance companies presenting their pieces that have been commissioned through the Resilience Program. The Resilience Program was designed to sustain the youth dance community and the dance community at large, and to keep the sense of creativity and commitment to quality practice. And this is a response to the expressed needs of the dancers, artists, and companies to exhibit the work they have been making throughout, you know, like COVID. And it has changed fundamentally the way that we work and the way that we present work. So, for example, the festival is going to have, as we say, a film by different choreographers like Michela Grivieva, Kate Houghton, and alumni from DYDC, Nick Nicola, Simone O'Toole, Hannah Rogerson, and then youth dance company like Spectacular Performing Arts, New Moon Youth Dance Company from Cork. From Belfast, we have a company as well, the Youth Dance. We have Limerick Youth Dance Company, Leash Youth Dance Ensemble, and Dublin Youth Circus, and also Dublin Youth Dance Company. So the audiences will enjoy a wide selection of new films and live pieces as well. So I think it will be like a fantastic program. And also, we have two different programs on Saturday and Sunday.
So, what time is it on the Saturday and the Sunday?
Both at 8 p.m.
And just in terms of then ticketing, can you buy tickets at the door or do you have to book them in advance?
I think you can buy tickets at the door. You can buy them online. And we have also a family tickets for, I think it's €45 for four members. So, yeah, it's really, really good.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to tell us about that, and I hope it all goes very well for you next weekend.
Oh yeah, I hope so too, and we expect people coming and supporting us and support the young people, because I think we need to support the talent of the future dancers of Ireland.
So just be very quickly before we wrap up, if someone's looking to get more information on the dance festival or on the dance company itself, where would you find that information?
Or you can come to our website, is www.dublinyouthdance.com.
Okay, thanks very much, Marianne. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely, no problem.
Now, before we finish, I want to let you know about some jobs and volunteering opportunities that are available locally. I take these from the activelink.ie website, where there are literally hundreds of opportunities every single week. And this week, in fact, there are 32 requests for volunteers and 292 job offers. Now, the volunteering opportunity, I'm going to highlight the same one as I did last week, because I think it's one that is worth mentioning again. Are you passionate about making a difference? Is how it's headed up. The 50808 service are currently looking for volunteers to listen to those in crisis for about 4 hours a week between the hours of 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. As a volunteer, you learn to support people through active listening, collaborative problem solving, and safety planning. Now, little bit about 50808. They are a free, anonymous, 24/7 messaging service, providing everything from a calming chat to immediate support. It provides a safe space where you'll be trained to listen to texters who want to be heard. You'll message back and forth, the texter only sharing what they feel comfortable to share. By asking questions, you will listen and respond with support, helping texters sort through their feelings until you both feel the texter is in a calm, safe place. So if you have a personal computer, laptop or a PC and a secure internet connection and you want to know more, well, you can visit www.text50808.ie/volunteer and you'll get all the details. So now moving on to the job opportunity, LARCH, LARCHE, are people with and without intellectual disabilities sharing life in communities of faith. Mutual relationships and trust in God are at the heart of their life together, and they celebrate the unique value of every person and recognise the need for one another. They are recruiting for the position of care assistant that will provide additional cover in one of their three residential homes in Baldoyle.
The successful candidate must be committed to providing the highest standard of services in support of adults to live satisfying, fulfilling and interesting lives. The role will involve shift work, which includes weekends, including overnights and public holidays, and require a high level of flexibility to reflect the needs of the residents. Now, if you believe you have the necessary enthusiasm, competencies and experience to carry out this role, well, you can forward your letter of application along with your CV to peter.shields@larch.ie. So that's peter.shields, S-H-I-E-L-S, at larch, L-A-R-C-H-E dot I-E. And the closing date is almost Christmas, 22nd of December, 2021. Well, that's it for this week, for the Week in Review. Thanks a million to all our contributors to the programme this week. And as always, if you want to get in touch, the best way to do that is on Twitter, at nearfm, at Declan Ralph. So, from Sarah, Ken and myself, Declan Ralph, we'll all be back at the same time next week, 12:30, Saturday lunchtime. See you soon on the radio. Bye for now. Bye-bye.